I very distinctly remember the first Sunday morning I walked through those doors. It was the winter of 2008. True confession. Unlike probably most of you, I wasn't looking for a new spiritual home. I was a perfectly fulfilled and content, or so I thought at the time, Israeli-born Jew. But I was also newly, deeply, madly in love with my now wife, Sandy Shahada. So when she invited me to go with her to church that morning, I said, yes, of course. True confession, had she suggested we go get root canals together, I would have also readily agreed. Such is young love. And so I walked through those doors on that fateful Sunday morning, and a new love affair began. I fell in love with this chapel immediately, as many of us did. This sacred space has long been called a ship of dreams because it's built like an upside down boat. Take a look. Can you see it? But it's also called a ship of dreams because of its remarkable and venerable history. For those who don't yet know, this chapel was built by some very brave souls, folks formerly enslaved at the nearby Oatlands Plantation. During the Civil War, they walked north, crossed the Potomac River, joined the Union Army, fought for their freedom, and returned to Oatlands as free men. They were given land here to farm in the village of Gleedsville, and they built this chapel as their place of worship. It was initially dedicated as the Mount Olive ME Church on October 12th, 1890, 134 years ago yesterday. The Mount Olive congregation merged with Mount Zion United Methodist Church on North Street in downtown Leesburg in 1985. And UUCL bought this building and the very small parcel of land to my left, your right, in 1998. The 30-year mortgage was provided by Mount Zion and personally guaranteed by three couples who were longtime leaders of this congregation. We were a real family church back then. The mortgage was paid off 10 years early in 2019. So we have been mortgage free for 5 years. In the first year of ownership, longtime leader Leslie Wright recalls that they immediately started work both upstairs and downstairs. The steel beam that you see downstairs had to be installed in order to obtain an occupancy permit. Six guys got together and put it in one Saturday. There was weekend after weekend of painting and repairing. And y'all, there was no bathroom. There was an outdoor porta potty. Leslie said the septic system was the hardest project, long fighting with county regulators before finally getting permission to build the current system. Over the next several years, UUCL received two grants from the Loudoun Historic Preservation Society. The first was used to repair and refinish the hardwood floors. The second was used to repair some damaged siding in the southeast corner of the building. Care was taken, which was the last slide. Care was taken to have the repairs made as historically authentic as possible. In subsequent years, we've gotten more grants from the same source for roof repair, and most recently for repainting the entire building. In 2004, we purchased our second lot, the parking area to my right, your left, which is known as the Odd Fellows Lot, from Mount Zion. And here in the picture, we have Leslie on the left and Peggy on the right. I've already mentioned Leslie's a longtime leader who was instrumental in many things here. Peggy was actually president when the Oddfellows lot was purchased. In 2006, thanks to efforts again by Leslie Wright, this historic chapel was officially placed on both the Virginia and National Registry of Historic Places. places. And in 2008, just 10 years into our now 26 years of owning this building, the board appointed a space options task force. Here's their charter. Its charge was to explore the full scope of possibilities for acquiring new space, including purchase or lease of an existing building, or buying land for building to suit. Sound familiar? Well, that task force concluded its investigations by recommending that the board and congregation work towards full-time ministry before considering a move. And isn't that a lovely picture of our pews? I just threw that in there because it's beautiful. So in 2010, the board appointed a long-range planning team, which was then selected to be part of the UUA Growing Stronger program, which led to a new mission statement, the one before that current one, the Covenant of Loving Relations, which Alan Benkovsky spoke about over the summer, and the development of an appreciative inquiry, a process of developing a shared vision for our future. The appreciative inquiry led to a report which addressed the dual goals of full-time ministry and new space. And all that work led to a unanimous vote on October 13th, 2013, 11 years ago today, to pursue three goals. One of them, develop solutions to our space constraints through renovation and or acquisition of new space. And this slide from March 2011 shows the 9 different options and all of the different criteria that that Space Options Task Force developed. March 2011. Over the next several years, we looked at many options. When it came up for sale, we considered buying the property across the road. Have our cake and eat it too. Believe it or not, its layout would have actually been really conducive to our needs. But the board determined that it was out of our price range capacity. In 2015, a congregational meeting was held to review other options, and a plan was approved to, one, pursue a second exit in order to increase our maximum occupancy from 49 to 77. Pursue a portable classroom to include a second bathroom, and explore renting office space in Leesburg so we can get Gabby and other tech folk out of the little corner back there. Throughout these years, in fact, until as recently as this past summer, we continued to approach our neighboring landowner to the south and east, who holds about 3.5 acres on these two sides. No interest whatsoever. Meanwhile, we also pursued, in fact, we won a Chalice Lighters grant to fund acquisition of that pesky strip of land between our two lots so that we could combine our parcels and potentially get a permit to build an addition. Alan, who succeeded me as president in 2015, and I don't want to have to tell you how long and how hard we tried to make that purchase. Unlike this neighbor, for a while we were making some progress. Remember that? And then, no interest whatsoever. But that $20,000 Chalice Lighters grant awarded in November of 2016 also included funds to build our second exit with matching funds from UUCL and a significant in-kind donation from W.T. Hazel, thanks to Sandy and her connection there. We were able to make significant improvements to the parking lots. We also upgraded the HVAC to these nifty and much more efficient units. And we installed a new outward opening front door, which together with the second exit enabled us to meet fire code requirements for larger occupancy. And here you see the before picture of this corner. Let me tell you something. It was a lot of work to secure the grant, complete the design, gain the permits, and build this new exit while maintaining the integrity of the building. Luckily, we knew a very high-end builder named Drew Lawton, who loves this chapel for many reasons. Not only does he appreciate its history, but he has fond memories of his mother's hard work to organize a monthly Saturday music concert series here called the Shenandoah Coffee House. Drew gave us very favorable friend and family discount, and I hope you'll agree that those are his drawings, that the result is beautiful. By the way, Drew also built and installed the free library in front here in honor and memory of his mother, Elsa. True confession. I worked long and hard on getting this done for the singular purpose of getting our occupancy from 45 to 77 so that we could continue to grow here in this beautiful chapel. In fact, so focused was I on that purpose that when we dedicated the exit in September 2017, it struck me for the first time that we did not, in fact, have to wait for a fire to use it. Seriously. Yeah. Whew. Now you have a feel for Sandy's world. singular focus. Unfortunately, the process of removing the window that had been there revealed a new challenge, the dreaded powder post infestation. This infestation posed a serious, significant risk to the integrity of this chapel. Those beetles are known for doing serious damage to wooden beams and joists in buildings, both hardwood and softwood. But thanks to the leadership of Jenna Korf, who succeeded Alan as president, we managed to raise the fund and find the vendor who could perform the necessary remediation to eradicate the beetles. It was a lot of work. We had to completely empty the chapel of everything, every hymnal, every pen or pencil, everything. And then, of course, we had to put it all back between one Sunday and the next. It was also under Jenna's leadership, after much careful discernment and reflection, plus free cookies and donuts, that this congregation voted to retire our beloved pews and replace them with chairs. And here are three of those pews making their way to new homes in 2021. Some of us were resistant because the pews were charming to look at anyway. But for many reasons, they simply would not allow us to comfortably hold as many people as we can now legally hold. And for anyone who misses them or wonders just how much more comfortable our chairs are, you simply must attend a UU Jammers event at Catherine Jacobs Barn, where a handful of our pews have gone on to serve a wonderful new purpose. And here are the new chairs, fresh out of their boxes, waiting for us to return from our COVID hiatus. And return we did, with a renewed appreciation for the power of beloved community gathered in real life, and with a newly approved mission statement. To kindle the flame, say it with me, of love and justice, to nurture and heal ourselves, each other, and our world. What does it mean to live this mission? Well, we asked ourselves that. Much like during the 2012 Appreciative Inquiry, we held workshops and lots of other gatherings and talkings. And despite the many improvements we've made to our chapel over the years, we spoke candidly about its constraints. And we began, again, a process of exploring new and different options. Another space options task force was formed. Third time's a charm. We have a shortened name. We just call ourselves Space Force. And building on the work that's been done before, we researched, we deliberated, we held multiple meetings with members, big questions, small talk, drop-in, informal conversations. We developed very detailed presentations and a much simpler one-pager, and it should be in the back today. Anne-Marie can show it to you. It's on green paper. That addressed the questions that were being raised, questions we have asked and addressed many times over the years. And so now, here we are, 1 week away from another congregational vote about whether we're ready to consider new space. Next Sunday, all members will have the chance to vote yes or no on the following question. Do you agree that UUCL should commit to moving to a new space that will better allow us to live our mission? Understanding that a vote to sell the church and a vote to buy or rent new property will come before the congregation in the future. And while this vote is non-binding, meaning it's neither a decision to sell nor a decision to rent or buy, I personally think the language here is more precise and more directive than the previous congregational votes about exploring new space. But more importantly, I think we're a different congregation now. We have grown in fits and starts over the last 10 years. We've grown from 73 members to 92, and that's just the adult members. We have close to 40 children and youth on top of that. Clearly, there is no way we can all, or even most of us, legally congregate at the same time.
And we have 40 friends, which are spouses, thank you, partners of these members. So we have about 250 people,
yeah,
who could come into this.
Thank you. I hope everybody heard that. We have more visitors on top of that, and hundreds of people who could potentially be part of our beloved community. And we have had the blessing of Reverend Alice's leadership and ministry for the last 7 years. In fact, she joined us right before the dedication of that new exit, and her steady spiritual leadership saw us through a pandemic and into a new era of commitment and growth. When we started in the early 90s, UUCL had a part-time student minister, and between 2000 and 2017, when Alice joined us, we had no fewer than 8 different ministers. The longest serving were with us for 5 years, and the remaining mostly very short-timers. True confession, I personally believe that the continuity and stability that Reverend Alice has blessed us with is what we were seeking 15 years ago when we decided to hold off on new space until we had full-time ministry. Now here's the conundrum about that chicken and egg. And I say this as someone who has led our annual pledge drive since 2015. Without more space for more members, our budget is simply not likely to grow big enough to afford full-time ministry. We've been eking up there, going from half to closer to 2/3, but we need more pledging members to go to full-time ministry. Where are we going to put them? Now, I know you're probably looking around and thinking, hey, we got empty seats. But here's the thing, when average church attendance exceeds about 80% of sanctuary capacity, crowding begins to limit a congregation's growth. This rule of thumb is often called the 80% rule, good old 80-20. The exact origin of the 80% rule is unclear, and it seems likely to have been mostly experience-based. However, there is now both research and anecdotal evidence to support it. And besides seating, where are they going to park? True confession. As much as I love and respect Reverend Alice, I don't think being able to support a full-time minister is, in and of itself, enough of a reason to move. I think it's also a matter of living our mission. And our covenant, Are we living that? Yes. Love is the spirit of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament. To dwell together in peace, for the most part, to seek the truth in freedom, absolutely, and to help our neighbor. That's where I'm not so sure. How many more neighbors can we help if we stay here? Not many. For a long time, Loudoun has been among the fastest growing counties in the country. 10 years ago, we had 362,330 residents. Today, that number stands at 439,902. That's 77,572 more people, 20% increase in 10 years. UUCL's growth membership over that 10-year period is actually 26%. Without any advertising, without any marketing, without a strategic outreach plan, without any real effort whatsoever at attracting new visitors. Well, okay, we have a website. But I believe the reason we have grown is due to the heroic efforts of our membership chair, Anne Marie Morreale, who does a super awesome job at welcoming newcomers who find us all on their own. Alas, we can't continue to grow at that rate in this space, this sacred space that we have loved and cared for the past 26 years. I know it's hard and it's sad to think about letting go. But here's the thing. There may be buyers out there who would be in a position to take as good, or dare I say perhaps even better, care of this chapel than us. Remember who built it? The formerly enslaved from Oatlands, which is a plantation close by, down on Route 15, owned and operated by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Oatlands could be a prospective buyer. Let me be clear. We don't know yet if they're interested. But we can't even begin those conversations without a yes vote from the congregation next Sunday. And Oatlands would not be the only possibility. In fact, the Northern Virginia Regional Park Authority owns Mount Zion Old School Baptist Church at the historic intersection of Little River Turnpike and Old Carolina Road. That was built in 1851, and it was a place of worship until 1980. Maybe they would want to acquire another charming historic church and keep it open for the public. And there are more, but again, none that we can pursue without the go-ahead from our members, which will or will not be determined through next Sunday's vote. If you are a member who's eligible to vote, but you don't plan on being here next Sunday, proxy voting will be allowed. Please see Michelle Seville or any other member of the board. Board members, could you raise your hands? Thank you. True confession. I debated long and hard with myself about how much to share about my own personal involvement in loving and caring for this sacred space. And that's because if there is one thing, and one thing only, that I want you to take away from this morning, it's this. This is absolutely not about me. And it's not about the people currently serving on the board. Under Michelle Seville's dedicated leadership, it's not about the current members of the Space Force. It's not about any of us. It's about the people who have yet to walk through that door on Sunday morning for the first time. And if that's you today, please know this is not a typical service. Please know how welcome you are here. And please know that many of us have been working long and hard for this beloved community to be a place where many more newcomers find that they belong. That's why I believe it's time. It's time to make new sacred space for them. Let's build that land together. May it be so, and blessed be. Okay, thank you. And now I invite the choir up to sing Imagine. Music by John Lennon, but words somewhat different than his version. And they will be up on your screen.